be with you.
Hallelujah.
Welcome in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus. It's great to see all of you tonight. We pray God's blessings on our time together. Very special evening for us. Dr. Christopher Allman, member of Good Shepherd, former choir director, organist here, Lincoln boy, along with his family. It's really, really, really great to have you back. And you are constantly in our thoughts and in our prayers. And it is great to see you once again in person. And we look forward to hearing you preach and also to the presentation after church tonight in the fellowship hall. Tonight we'll be celebrating the Festival of Mary Magdalene. And a few weeks ago when we celebrated the visitation, it was a little bit like Christmas in June. Well, tonight it will be a lot like Easter in July. And we pray that God would richly bless us as we hear His Word and receive His gifts. A couple of words on our worship service for this evening. Opening hymn is number 465, "Now All the Vault of Heaven Resounds." Please stand on the last verse of that hymn. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 1. Setting 1, that's on page 151 and following. We have a special worship insert for the evening. Readings are on one side, the propers are on the other. We'll make sure that we're on the right page at the right time. Our hymn of praise this evening will be the Gloria. I think that's enough announcements. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank You for the blessings that You shower down upon us. We thank You for the opportunity to hear the good news of Christ's victory over sin, death, and the grave. Heavenly Father, bless us as we are resurrection people, living in the waters of holy baptism, dying daily to sin, and rising daily with Christ. Heavenly Father, bless us tonight as we hear once again that good news. Bless us once again as we receive Your holy and precious gifts. All these things, Lord, we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, crucified and risen to take away the sin of the world. Amen. Amen. Hymn 465.
Thank you.
setting one, page 151. Page 151. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you, Lord our Lord. We have not loved our neighbors and ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in His mercy, has given His Son to die for you, and for His sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by His authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We sing the introit.
Salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
To God in the highest, and peace to His people on earth.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, we worship You with praise. We praise You for Your glory, Lord Jesus Christ.
Almighty God, Your Son, Jesus Christ, restored Mary Magdalene to health and called her to be the first witness of His resurrection. Heal us from all our infirmities and call us to know You in the power of Your Son's unending life. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the festival of St. Mary Magdalene is written in Proverbs chapter 31. An excellent wife who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but You surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Continue with our gradual, we speak it together. Hear, O daughter, and consider and find your fear. Forget your people and your father's house. The good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep, that they may have life and have it abundantly. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. The second reading is written in the book of Acts, chapter 13. Brothers, sons of the family of Abraham, and those among you who fear God, to us has been sent the message of this salvation, for those who live in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not recognize him nor understand the utterances of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath, fulfilled them by condemning them, him. And though they found in him no guilt worthy of death, they asked Pilate to have him executed. When they had carried out all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead, and for many days he appeared to those who had come up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are now his witnesses to the people. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We continue with our Alleluia and verse, we stand for the Holy Gospel. Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We continue with hymn 478. You may be seated.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said to her, that is to Mary, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Translation: this is not a time for clinging. When I have bodily ascended completely out of your sight, that is the time for clinging. Further translation: when you've got a Jesus who ascended into heaven completely out of sight on his terms, then and only then do you even have a Jesus to cling to. While that is odd, it is refreshingly odd. Without an ascended Jesus, which is also to say, without a resurrected Jesus, which is also to say, without a crucified Jesus, you would be in the same place as Mary Magdalene and the apostles. That is, left exclusively to your personal devotion to Jesus, and to the place where your devotion tells you he ought to be and yet is not. Without a resurrected Jesus, you, like Mary, would epitomize a life marked completely by unwavering and steadfast devotion to Jesus, and yet in doing so would manifest a life that is in every respect faithless to him. Mary's devotion, as well as that of the apostles, told them loud and clear where Jesus ought to be, namely, that grave. Their devotion led them to Golgotha and led them to take note where his body would remain. So much so that when his body was no longer there, inquiry was made as to where exactly it would be, with the ultimate aim of returning him to where he once was when he went missing. So great was Mary's devotion. An ascending Jesus, which is to say, a resurrected Jesus, which is to say, a crucified Jesus, suddenly spares Mary and the apostles and really everyone of all of that. Yet, it's odd that you've got in this moment a Jesus at hand who is viable for clinging right there, and yet now is not the time. But at the same time, it's refreshing that you're no longer left to your own devices. And more importantly, you're no longer enslaved to the place where your devices inevitably take you. And most importantly, that Jesus is nowhere to be found where your personal devotion dictates where he should be. And he can't be brought there again. If Mary Magdalene can be shorn of all of the shackles of personal devotion hell-bent on death and the grave and be brought out of such enslavement into a life of actual faithfulness, into a life of actually hearing and listening to and remembering and trusting and cherishing the actual words, the bare words of Jesus for our advanced knowledge, for our awareness, and ultimately our comfort and our salvation, words that he reiterates for us again and again and again, so also can it be for you. So also can it be for me. And not only can it be, it is so. After all, the Jesus we have is an ascended one, seated at the right hand of his Father and ours, and his God and ours. An ascended Jesus is the one who gives us his Spirit to remind him of everything that he has spoken to us, and to bring us to actually and joyfully hear, understand, and believe what he is saying to us. All to bring us into a consciousness, an advanced consciousness of these things, and ultimately to comfort and console and save us. There, in that place, where a devoted clinging to the Lord Jesus on your terms is shown the exit door, never appear to again, and faithful clinging to the Lord Jesus on his terms occurs, never to cease. Jesus did not ascend into heaven for us to carry on with our own ideas. Jesus did not ascend into heaven for us to continue in our own ways of thinking and in our own ways of describing Jesus, who he is, and what he does. For us to look for him or expect him to be where he has not promised to be found, and especially in places where he has promised not to be found. Or seek to place him there because we think he should be there. Jesus ascended into heaven so that by his Spirit we would have and operate with his ideas, his ways of thinking, and his ways of describing, and to eagerly seek him out where he has promised to be found. Which means ultimately that Jesus ascended into heaven for you and me to cling to him. Now, with Jesus having ascended to our Father and his and our God and his, now is the time, with Jesus having ascended into heaven, to cling to him. Now, with Jesus completely out of sight, and with us completely left to his terms, now is the time to cling to him, which is to say, now is the time to cling to him when and where he has promised himself to be found. Which doesn't bode so well for our personal devotion, as we have already begun to see from the narrative of Mary Magdalene. But it does bode well for our ears, our minds, our hearts, our souls, places where Jesus' own words love to live and move and have their being. And if there's anything to the ascended Jesus, and there is, it is a promise. A promise that proceeds from a risen body, which is to say, a crucified body that goes where it will, that bids you touch him to fully come to terms with everything he has said to you about what needed to happen, namely that the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms be fulfilled. That opens your minds to understand what he reiterates yet again, that the Christ should suffer and die and on the third day be raised again, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins be proclaimed in his name to all nations, all of which Mary Magdalene serves as the first witness, a status in which we join her. It is a promise from his Father and ours, and from his God and ours, that he sends upon Mary and the apostles and us a power clothing us from on high. It is a promise that has no room for devotion, but all the room in the world for faithfulness, which means it is a promise replete with nothing but the words of Jesus himself. Baptized as you are and taught as you are a disciple of Jesus, and he will always be with you, never to let you go. That is a promise. that those he sends in apostolic ministry to speak the words of the Lord to you, it is the Lord himself speaking to you. That this bread and this wine is the very body and blood of Christ, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins, to wipe your slate of sins clean completely. It is to these words, and thus to this promise, and thus to this ascended Jesus, completely out of sight, that we cling. On his gracious terms, even here, even now, no longer left to our own devices, and more importantly, no longer enslaved to the devices, to the places where those devices inevitably take us, and most importantly, finding ourselves where Jesus himself is and will always be found and grasped in ways that will always be odd, yet in ways that are oh so refreshing to the praise and honor of his Father and ours, his God and ours. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We rise to confess the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty,
friends in Christ, I urge you all to lift up your hearts to God and pray with me as Christ our Lord has taught us and freely promised to hear us. God, our Father in heaven, look with mercy on us, your needy children on earth, and grant us grace that your holy name be hallowed by us and all the world through the pure and true teaching of your word and the fervent love shown forth in our lives. Graciously turn from us all false doctrine and evil living, whereby your precious name is blasphemed and profaned. Lord, in your mercy, may your kingdom come to us and expand. Bring all transgressors and those who are blinded and bound in the devil's kingdom to know Jesus Christ, your Son, by faith, that the numbers of Christians may be increased. Lord, in your mercy, strengthen us by your Spirit according to your will, both in life and in death, in the midst of both good and evil things, that our own wills may be crucified daily and sacrificed to your good and gracious will. Into your merciful hands we commend Rinos Kuntz, who underwent surgery this day, and all who are in need, praying for them at all times, thy will be done. Lord, in your mercy, grant us our daily bread, preserve us from greed and selfish cares, and help us trust in you to provide for all of our needs. Lord, in your mercy, forgive us our sins as we also forgive those who sin against us, so that our hearts may be at peace and may rejoice in a good conscience before you, and that no sin may ever frighten or alarm us. Lord, in your mercy, Lead us not into temptation, O Lord, but help us by your Spirit to subdue our flesh, to turn from the world and its ways, and to overcome the devil with all his wiles. Lord, in your mercy. O Heavenly Father, deliver us from all evil, both body and soul, now and forever. Lord, in your mercy. Grant your safety and protection to Dr. Allman and his family as they travel in the United States these next weeks, and grant them safe journey back to his work in Germany. Lord, in your mercy. We trust, O Lord, in your great mercy to hear and to answer us through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
For us where he promises to be, will be yours today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and all.
Page 159.
Hearts.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give Him
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to You, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise You on this day for the glorious resurrection of Your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sin of the world. By His dying, He has destroyed death, and by His rising again, He has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify Your glorious name, evermore praising You and saying,
Holy, 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 Holy,
are You, Lord of heaven and earth, for You have had mercy on those whom You created, and sent Your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of His body and His blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg You, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with Your Word and Spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat His body and drink His blood, as He bids us do in His own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in His kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To You alone, O Father, be all glory, honor and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in Your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
On the night when He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is My body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of Me. The same way also He took the cup after supper, and when He had given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in My blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of Me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Now this true body and precious blood of our crucified, risen, and ascended Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Go with peace, with great joy. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. We stand for the post-communion canticle, the Nunc Dimittis, page 165. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give to you peace.
Amen.
We remain standing for our closing hymn, 488. 488.
To hear you, Dr. Allman, and we look forward to hearing more. You're all invited into the fellowship hall, Dr. Allman, and I don't know, are you doing this solo? Is Elizabeth helping?
She will do her second.
Okay, all right, so we get to hear both of them. Elizabeth is also called on the mission field as a deaconess, so we'll get to hear all about their work there. Now, back in the olden days when they were here, you probably remember Thomas. He's a lot taller now than he was before. And Matthias was just this tiny, tiny little baby, so he doesn't remember any of us, I'm sure. And we also have another girl, so Elizabeth is not so outnumbered. Helena?
Yes.
How'd I do? Yes. Okay, all right. So, I know not everybody's going to be able to stick around, but we do have coffee and juice and goodies, and if the kids are really nice to me, I might be able to scrounge up some ice cream. Yeah, all right. Let's give the Almonds a great Good Shepherd welcome, shall we?
Check out the Good Shepherd news and notes. Thanks to everybody that helped
with the details, arrangements, and the lunch with the funeral yesterday. Be reminded, this coming Sunday is Vicar Williams' last Sunday among us, his last sermon here as vicar. We have our vicar roast on Sunday evening at 5 o'clock. In case any of you have ever wondered what vicar just might look like without a beard, make sure you're here. Make sure you're here. That's all I'm going to say about that. I don't know. Any other? Lifelight tomorrow. Continue our study of the book of Job. That's 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Please join us in the fellowship hall. Have a great day and week and life in the resurrection of Jesus.